The best thing about the new $1 sausage and cheese muffin at Tim Hortons is the savory sausage. Ooh, and the cheese. Oh, and the toasty English muffin. Those are the three best things about it. Oh, and that it's prepared to order. You order one and they prepare it for you. That's the single best thing about it. And that it's a dollar! Grab a savory sausage and cheese English muffin breakfast sandwich at Tim Hortons right now for just a dollar. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. $1 sausage and cheese English muffin sandwich. No substitutions. Limited time only. Participation varies.
You have Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Journeys of the Light with John White. Tonight we have a special guest, Dr. Neil Zepkowski. Did I say that right? Dr. Neil. I'm sure a lot of people get that wrong. Dr. Neil is a longtime registered medium here at Lilydale, the president of the Lilydale Board of Directors, and he is involved with a lot of different modalities of healing, including
holistic medicine, of course, mediumship readings can be healing. There's a lot of different healing things. Joking, fun,
and sweat lodge
also. Native American spirituality, absolutely.
So we have a lot of exciting things to talk about tonight. So your host is Reverend John White, now PhD, another registered medium, as all of the Lilydale radio hosts are. Dr. Reverend John and Dr. Reverend Neil.
Okay, and Neil is a doctor of medicine. And Neil, tell us a little bit about how you came into spiritualism.
Well, I lived 8 miles from Lilydale. I grew up in Dunkirk, New York, which is 8 miles down the hill near Lake Erie. And growing up, I was 8 or 9 years old. My father used to take us out on Casadega Lake, which is part of Lilydale Chain Lakes, Lilydale's lake, being called Upper Lake or Lilydale Lake. And we used to go fishing on these lakes. And one time we were going past this settlement of homes and I said, you know, Dad, there's a little community there. What is that? He said, oh, that's Lilydale. They're all nuts. So of course I had to go check it out. He said, don't go there. So, he used to, back in those days, Lilydale had a softball team, which was quite well known in the county. And, so my father knew of Lilydale simply because he was on a softball team in Dunkirk and came up to Lilydale and, decided that we were all crazy because he saw a woman in her bathrobe going out, knocking on the windows of her house saying, Grandma, Grandma, are you there? And he didn't know what it was all about. So of course, when I was a teenager, I wanted to check out Lilydale. I worked at a summer camp right over the hill in Bear Lake, which is the lake right over the hill. And we used to take our campers on hikes, and Lilydale was kind of like one of the ends of the hikes, and then we'd turn back around. And on Counselor's Night Out, which was Thursday nights, Lilydale was basically the closest thing to do from Camp in the Woods, where I was at a YMCA camp. So we would come here. And in those days, after 6 p.m., the gate fee was waived for anybody coming in. So we would come in for free after 6 p.m. on Thursday nights. And back then in the assembly hall happened to be something called Thought Exchange. So I would go to the Thought Exchange and they exchanged talk about philosophy, about spiritualism and what it was. And it sounded pretty interesting to me. Now, I was in high school at that time. And one time with a bunch of counselors from the camp, all high school kids, we decided, let's go try and have a reading. So being raised Catholic, I thought, well, you know, this ought to be good. I've heard about it. So let's try it out. So we went to a medium whose name was Tom Bartlett, who is now in the spirit world. And so he gave us high school students the high school special, $5. So I got a reading for $5. And he told me several things that I had no way of verifying. However, he did tell me that my Uncle Frank, and he described him, he gave me his name. And as a kid, you don't know that many people who have died, but my Uncle Frank I knew. and he gave me his greetings from spirit. And I thought, wow, this description was right. The name was right. How did he know this? I thought either he has a great trick, which I would love to learn. This is the truth. Or he can really do this, which proves that there is an afterlife, which was exciting because I went to Catholic school and, you know, the nuns were telling us about heaven and about the saints, and we could pray to the saints and they could talk to God for us. But you had to be a saint in order to communicate on that level. And, you know, I thought, well, they're just telling us this so we could be good girls and boys. But here was a man telling me evidence, and he wasn't even a Catholic, about my uncle, who wasn't a saint. And I thought, this is amazing. There's got to be an afterlife. And I have to know for myself. And I figured, he's a human being. If he can do that, I should be able to do this or learn a great trick. So at that time, I was a senior in high school, and I was going to college, and I would occasionally go to the outdoor services in Lilydale where mediums would give messages. And so I was talking to a woman and man, Norma Washington was her name, sort of saying, you know, I'm going off to college. This sounds fascinating. Too bad I can't learn about this when I go off to college out of the Lilydale area. And she said, well, you know, there's spiritualist churches all over the country. Check it out when you're in college and take a class. And I'm thinking, really? There's more places than Lilydale that do this? So I went to college at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, New York, and I went on the phone book because there was no online stuff back then. And I find on the phone book, there's a spiritualist church in Albany. Well, I start going there, taking the bus because I didn't have a car. So I would take the bus an hour to go to this evening spiritualist church service in Albany. And it was amazing. The minister was Penny Thorne at the time. Now she's Penny Donovan. She would give the sermon, which was very uplifting. And then she would give messages. And again, it was amazing the things she came out with that came out to be true. And so I thought, well, I want to take classes and learn how to do this. Or maybe it's a trick. So unfortunately, by the time I found it in my freshman year, the first year psychic unfoldment or mediumship spiritual unfoldment class had begun, so I had to wait until I was a sophomore in college. So when I was a sophomore in college, I signed up for the class, which started in September of my sophomore year. At that time,
what year was that?
Let me think. 1971.
What did your friends think of your interest in all this?
Well, you know, in college we're all interested in all kinds of things. So they sort of thought that was interesting. As a matter of fact, I told two of my college buddies about it, and the three of us would take the bus to Lilydale, and eventually one of them got a car, so we'd carpool to Albany, to the Spiritualist Church from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. We carpool for the evening services. So I got them to sign up for the first year class. Now, there were so many in the first year class, there were 43 of us, and this church is little, and we used to meet in the basement. So they had to divide the class in two. So I was in one half of the class, and then there was another class taught on another night for the first years. And what we would do, they'd teach us an hour of philosophy and how the vibrations worked and how spirit worked. And then we'd sit for an hour of what's called home circle development in total darkness. And they're sharing messages, and I'm thinking, well, I'm not seeing anything, and I'm not feeling anything, and how can they do this, you know? And it was an interesting year, and I learned some things, but I never got any downloads from spirit or any messages. So I thought, you know, this still might be a trick. So, but it was interesting what I was learning. So I thought, well, I'm going to stick it through to the second year. And in the second year, it went from 43 to 23, so we're all able to sit in one class together. And my thought, honest to God, when I started this was, it's such a cool trick. They're just separating us and weeding us out to see who's going to stick through it long enough to learn this darn trick. So, honest to God. So still learning these things, my aha experience, which I still remember so vividly, happened in the middle of my second year. Here we are, second-year students, middle of our second year, and the minister decides it's time to have us demonstrate our mediumship abilities upstairs in the church on the rostrum in front of the third-year class.
Did you say, oh, I missed that class?
Yeah, well, really. So we're taking turns going up standing in front of the rostrum and looking out into the audience where the third year students are sitting. So we're supposed to give them readings. And as I'm getting up my turn, I'm thinking, well, geez, nobody gave me the trick yet. What am I going to do? So this woman sitting out in the audience scratches her nose. And I'm thinking, well, she grabbed my attention. Maybe I'm supposed to talk to her. So I go, I want to come into your vibration. Now, it would have been hard to explain in 1972 by that time, but now we can explain it as a download, because you can, in a matter of seconds, you can download amazing amounts of information on the computer. So as I looked at her, it was almost a download happened in my memory bank. In my memory bank, suddenly for no reason, up came a memory of when we used to go in college, driving nonstop from Albany, New York, down to Key West, Florida, which is a 36-hour drive. And we would have a bunch of us college kids drive nonstop down there. And I had this memory back in those days. If you went, what we ended up doing usually was going through Washington, D.C. at 3 in the morning. And it's much quicker to go right through the city than around the Beltway. So we would go through Washington, and the route took us right past the Capitol building, which we would circle around once to say hello to the Capitol building all lit up at night. So this memory comes to me, and I see all of a sudden as I'm looking toward her as she scratched her nose above her head, here's a memory of the Capitol building all lit up at night. And I've never had this memory pop up before or since, but I suddenly remembered as I was looking at the Capitol building kind of in my mind's eye above her head, I saw a little plastic army guy, and I remembered that my brother used to play with little army guys when he was little. So I said to her, because I said, well, it must, why am I seeing this? I said, as I look at you, I see Washington over your head, which I did, you know, sort of in my mind's eye. So I said, Washington is on your mind, and you must have a son stationed right nearby who's in the army, and it's on your mind, and you've been really worried about him. And she said, that's exactly right. And I thought, oh my God, there's no trick. It's like, if there is a trick, it's learning to trust what spirit puts you in your imagination or in your mental picturing at that moment for that reason to make sense to the other person. Because I wouldn't have told her, look, I'm seeing a trip to a college trip to Key West.
Right.
But I saw Washington. I knew it meant something to her. And then I saw the army and I felt she had a son. It was like weirdest thing. And I thought, that's it. Learning to trust your imagination that spirit gives you when you open and ask. It was amazing.
It came out in pictures, like clairvoyance.
Yeah, clairvoyance. It was clairvoyance with an assumption that this must be what that means. So it was pictures.
That's amazing. You know, I remember when you first came to Lillydale.
Do you?
I was already here, and I remember they were saying, he's a doctor. And I remember you giving messages in the auditorium. And you're a little bit nervous, like all of us.
Oh, yes.
Right? Okay. Now, how has Lillydale changed over the years since you've been here?
Well, I've been coming since I was in high school, 16 or 17 years of age, and it was quite stuffy then, I have to say.
Yes,
it was quite stuffy, you know. The women up on the platform had to wear gowns in order to give lectures, and if they didn't wear a gown, they could wear a beautiful pantsuit, and they would be chastised for daring to get up on the Lillydale platform in a beautiful pantsuit because it wasn't a gown. And I remember that clearly. Joe Merrill was president then, and I remember him talking about people like that. Oh, do I have a story about him? But it's not appropriate for Blog Talk.
By the way, this is being broadcast.
Yes,
Australia, England, and all across America.
Oh, do I have stories? But yes. I've been here a long time. Anyway, so it was stuffy back then, and back then there were actually no workshops like we have now.
That's right. There were no
workshops. It was all pure spiritualism, philosophy, religion, science. We are the one true church. In order to join our church, you have to say goodbye to every other church you join to show your commitment. It was like very regulated and things like that. I think we're loosening up now because the church I belong to now, I mean, you can belong to a Catholic church, a Buddhist temple, and the spiritualist church. They're not as exclusive, although there are still some that are, which is all right. I mean, some people, that's what they want. That's their path. You know, leave everybody to follow their own truth within their own heart, which is one of the principles of the church that I'm with. So spiritualism was stuffy then. And since then, I think we've lightened up some. I would like to think so, especially since I'm on the board now. I have to say, though, for instance, three times I asked the board, as a licensed professional malpractice insured doctor, if I could have a practice right here in Lilydale.
Very beautiful deal.
And I was refused three times by the board because the fear was that, well, if somebody sued me for malpractice, Lilydale would be brought into the suit. So there was fear about that, which fortunately right now is dissipating. But I have to say that there was a fear, what we call a fear entity, or a fear, what's called an artificial elemental, where it's almost grows on a life of its own, nourished by fear.
Okay.
And it feeds off that emotion, and it anchors in Lilydale. I have to share this because I feel it's important. And each time that we lighten up and loosen up and don't fear as much, this entity has a self-survival instinct. Even though it was created by our own thoughts, it wants to survive. So it interestingly will create a crisis to feed off of. When you think it's just about over, something happens. And I've seen this repeatedly. And when you face it for what it is, it weakens. So I've noticed that over the years.
Boy, it sounds like the American government.
Well, we're the microcosm of the macrocosm in a way.
That's right.
Although I would hate to be compared to our president, even though I'm president. So, but you never know.
Now, I remember also when I first came here that there were no classes here at all.
That's
fact,
exactly right.
I may have a copy of the first little brochure.
Yeah, it was lectures about spiritualism and clairvoyance. That was it, and the outdoor services. No teaching of workshops.
Now, you know, I know that if you knew a medium here and you got invited into their private circle,
yes,
that's how you would develop. But there was
exactly. Absolutely
no...
No program.
And in fact, it was Elaine Ferris-Thomas that...
And Sherry Lee Calkins.
And Sherry Lee Calkins, and that started giving workshops here.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
That's just absolutely amazing.
Yes, and back then, I have to say this, we'll just open some of these secrets of Lilydale, but, you know, when I was in college, again, interested in this, starting to take classes in Albany, I would come home for the summer recess from college and stay in Dunkirk with my parents,
yes. Who
are, you know, they raised me Catholic, and they knew I had a little bit of an interest in this, but they were a little bit, skeptical of spiritualism, you know. So what I would do, Pierrette Austin was a well-known medium here back in those days,
okay. And
she used to sneak a home circle in her house during the summer, because back in those days, you were not supposed to compete with what was going on in Lilydale's program or the auditorium services or anything like that. So every Monday night, I would leave my house. I had a car by then. I would drive to Lilydale, go to the Monday night class with Pierrette Austin, and we had Virginia Savage and a bunch of other people in that class. And I learned a lot of good things that summer with Pierrette Austin. And I would get home probably by around midnight. And this happened every week. So finally, at the end of August, because my parents used to say, where'd you go? Oh, I'm just driving around the lake and stuff like that. So one time I came home around midnight, and, you know, after the class, it was the end of August, and they said, you're going to Lilydale, and we raised you Catholic and sent you to a Catholic school. I said, yes, I've been going to classes in Lilydale.
So amazing.
And you know what? Later on, as I was ordained and everything, my father actually came to my ordination here in Lilydale. I thought the walls of the church were going to fall in when he walked through the door.
So you didn't have to deal with any devil talk or anything like that?
No. It's just that it was not Catholic, and that's what my parents were upset about. But later, it's interesting, my mother started going to the spiritualist church here, and it was, and my father, I have to tell you, it was kind of sort of looked askance at it, but yet he had a little bit of an interest. And I began to do, and we'll get into this, I began to do Native American things as well. I went to sweat lodges and ways of praying in the Native American tradition, which included a sweat lodge, which actually Spirit led me to do sweat lodges and told me to actually do them here in Lilydale.
Yeah,
so
I remember you beginning them here.
Yeah.
So what are the legends about the mounds, the Native American mounds?
The mounds here?
Yeah, I keep hearing that this Lilydale land was sacred to the Native Americans.
Indeed, it was.
Turtle Island?
Well, Turtle Island is the name for the Americas. North America is called Turtle Island from an Indian legend where a turtle came up the maiden, the sky woman, fell out of a hole in heaven down toward earth, and the animals saw her falling this way, and they said she's going to drown unless we give her a place to stand. And the turtle was the only one who could dive deep enough to bring some earth up from under the ocean. And as he surfaced, he caught the sky woman. As she walked in all directions, the land grew wherever she walked. And so because the turtle was the one that rescued Sky Woman on the earth, and as Sky Woman walked around, it became solid land, we call this Turtle Island, and that's a Native American legend.
Beautiful.
The actual area of Lilydale is also an island surrounded on all sides by either water or swampland, and it was called Fern Island because the settlers here made it, had huge amounts of ferns here, so they named it Fern Island. Interestingly enough, in those days, there were many mounds in the Lilydale area, which were not appreciated by the settlers here. So the Lilydale Drive, which actually crosses swampland where there's a little island and a little house there, there's a culvert there, which is swamp. That was all underwater swamp, but the fill of that road is actually made from mounds, which used to be in Casadega, but they moved them to use fill for the road. There are still mounds if you go across the lake on Pettit Place on the other side of the lake. There's a house built on a mound with dike work in front of the house.
Now, what is the purpose of the mound here, as a North American Native person thinks?
Well, there's a lot of speculation on what they were. They were burial grounds. They were places of worship. Some of them were simply garbage heaps that grew and grew from people. So there's a lot of speculation. Of course, here's an interesting story. The Serpent Mound, which is near Chillicothe in southern Ohio, is supposed to be a vortex of psychic energy, which is beginning to awaken again. Have you ever been?
No, I have not.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Serpent Mound? Well, it's awakening energy, and it's made in the shape of a serpent. So obviously people have different ideas of what it is, but I think it was built on a vortex. It's shaped like a serpent. It's quite large, and it has an egg or something in its mouth, and it's sacred. So I had a reading once here in Lilydale with Kevin Ryerson, who goes into trance and gives a reading, and he told me to check out the Serpent Mound because it was an awakening vortex of earth energy. So I went that year to a Sundance way out in South Dakota, and on the way back, it just so happened we were passing near the Serpent Mound. So I went there with my friends who were mediums, and we walked around, and they didn't feel anything. But I went down to the Serpent Mound, and I prayed with my Chinooka, which is a North American peace pipe in a way, prayer pipe. And I said, you know, Spirit, they were waiting for me in the car by this time. They got bored at the Serpent Mound. But I said, you know, if this is a special place that's rising energy, I need a sign because, you know, I'm praying here and we made a special trip here. Give me a sign. So we were all ready to go. I was walking back up the hill because the Serpent Mound is on a hill. I was walking up the hill to the parking lot, and there near the ranger station at the top of the hill, and by the way, they have beautiful big black walnut trees growing all around the Serpent Mound area. So I see a family at the bottom of one of these big black walnut trees, and the ranger is pointing up in the tree at something. So I look up, and there is a 6-foot black snake crawling up the tree.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I've never in my life seen such a thing, crawling up through the bark upwards in the tree, like
wow.
Serpent rising. And I thought, oh, my God, there's my sign. Never in my life have I seen such a thing. It was obvious right after the prayer. So I know that the Serpent Mound is charged, and Spirit showed me an unmistakable synchronistic sign. Interestingly enough, a few years later, and you can look this up, there's about a mile and a quarter from there, there's a flat area with a soybean field, and that had a crop circle in it.
Oh, really?
A few years ago, yeah. So we know that it's definitely a sacred place.
Beautiful. Joyce is going to give the phone number and talk to people that if you'd like to phone in and ask Neil questions. And
for those just tuning in, you're listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White and Dr. Neil. If you want to call in and either share a story or ask a question for either John or Dr. Neil, give us a call at 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. You're listening to Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White and Dr. Neil Sapkowski.
Zabkowski,
we'll get it right. Zabkowski.
Or Zabkowski in Polish. Zabkowski.
And we're talking about all sorts of different spiritual topics,
Native American spirituality, how Dr. Neil got started. And Dr. Neil, you talked about Catholicism a little bit and how your parents were a little iffy about that, but how about your analytical mind? And you're a doctor, you're a medical doctor. Did you ever feel any kind of conflict or hesitation because of, you know, the left and right side of your brain?
Well, there I have so many stories, but that's an interesting one, which intertwines interestingly with spiritualism. The very first reading I ever got, which brought through my Uncle Frank from Tom Bartlett, he told me things that I had no way of proving. Now, I'm very interested in electronics, and I was a ham radio operator in eighth grade and in high school. But when I went for my reading in high school, he said that I would end up to be a doctor. And I thought, no, you got to have brains connections and, you know, money to be a doctor. So it was in the back of my mind, but I thought, you know, I'm going to do what I want. So I went to RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, to be what I wanted to be, an electronics engineer, because I was a ham radio operator. And lo and behold, I hated math. So I thought, no, this electronic engineering is not for me. But I loved biology. I loved my biology teacher in high school. It was one of my favorite subjects. So I thought, I'm either going to be, and by that time, by the way, as you know, I was taking spiritual unfoldment classes, learning about this stuff. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to be a biology teacher or a forest ranger, because I love the out of doors and I love biology, and somehow that can dovetail in there. So I switched majors to biology at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. Well, that is an engineering school, and all of the biology majors in RPI were pre-meds. And so I got to thinking. I said, well, you know, these are going to be the doctors, the future doctors of America, these pre-meds at RPI. So I thought, I tried to envision any one of them as my doctor. And they were all so competitive and so focused and so egotistical, I'm sorry to say. I thought, I don't want any of them to be my doctors. And then I remembered that reading, and I said, by golly, if it's possible, I'll get there first. So I, at that time, I went to a reading with Orville Dio, who was a teacher of Penny Donovan, and he was a medium. So I went for a reading with him in college as I was switching majors, and his reading reaffirmed not only that I would end up being a doctor, but that I would go to school at Syracuse Medical University, or what's called Syracuse Medical Center at the time, and end up being a doctor and possibly even come back to the Albany area after that. So I thought, okay, you know, that's nice. And in school, I mean, I was, by the way, in college, I went to these classes. And so I had a cume, a point average, you know, 4.0 is a good cume. Mine was 3.4 or 3.6. Back in those days, 20 people were competing for each spot available in medical school. I had a 3.4 to a 3.6. Most people needed 4.0s to get in there and needed like their life hope to be a doctor. Well, mine was to be electronic engineer and then biology person. So I thought, well, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll be. I'll apply to Syracuse and Buffalo and the state universities because they're not as expensive, and Stony Brook, and I'll also apply to a couple others. So I applied to 6 medical schools. Most people were applying to 20 because it was so competitive. And I thought, well, if I don't get in, I'll go to be a forest ranger or a biology teacher. So I just said, well, we'll see. So I took the forest ranger. Yes, I love the out of doors camping. So anyway, I was called for interviews at 2 medical schools. One was Syracuse and one was Buffalo. And in Syracuse, I went to the interview, and I didn't have, I mean, people in college were saying, what, you only applied to 6 and you don't have a 4.0, you only got a 3.6, you'll never get in. So I went to Syracuse. One interviewer absolutely loved me, and the other one absolutely hated me. Right from the time he saw me, he said, boy, did I blow that interview off. So I figured, I'll never get in. So, because I knew it was a bad interview, I could just tell. So then I interviewed at Buffalo. The dean of students there said, why do you want to go to medical school? And I said exactly what I just explained. I said, well, I'm in RPI. I wanted to be an electronic engineer. And I said, I met the pre-meds when I changed majors. They all want to be doctors, and I'll be darned if any of them are going to be my doctor. I'll get there first. He said, I've never heard anybody say that to me. He says, you're in. So I got into Buffalo, and you know, a few weeks before medical school started, I sent my tuition deposit in. In the meantime, I get this letter from Syracuse. The dean of students wants to meet me. I said, what the heck? The dean of students from Syracuse, which I love, by the way, the campus, much better than Buffalo. It was farther from my parents. So anyway, I went there and I said to the dean of students, why do you want to see me? I said, there's 20 applicants for each position. I blew it, obviously. And, you know, so you take the time to see me. I'm impressed. He says, it was so odd. Your evaluations were so different. I had to meet you myself. And I said, well, I've already sent my tuition deposit to Buffalo. He says, what? You've been accepted to another medical school already? I said, yeah. He says, well, he says, in that case, if you'd rather come here, you're welcome. I said, as a matter of fact, I would. Just like the reading said, I couldn't, when it was like so amazing that it worked out. And I did end up back in the Albany-Schenectady area, which was, again, by lottery, because you interview for family practice residency programs, and you're put in order of preference. I like South Dakota, and I put Schenectady down, St. Clair's Hospital, because I like them. And by the what's called the match program, I ended up in Schenectady and ended up helping with the church that I originally took lessons from, and I ended up teaching lessons in that church.
It's amazing. Now, at Lilydale, you've also taught courses on Edgar Casey,
yeah.
Things like that. Talk a little bit about that.
You know, again, Edgar Casey is a psychic or a medium in a way, and he brought through interesting medical evidence or medical help to people in 14,000 documented readings over his lifetime in the early 20th century. And in medical school, I was aware of Edgar Casey's work, obviously, because I was taking spiritual development classes. And as I learned things in medical school, I compared them to what Casey had said. For instance, Casey, back in the 1920s, gave a couple who had a baby who was doing very poorly a diet that recommended bananas, among other things. Back in the 20s, bananas were thought to be very bad for babies. So what this was actually, the baby had a gluten sensitivity. And Edgar Casey in the reading said, avoid wheat and grains, which you're doing
way back then.
They didn't know about it then, but Casey gave this recommendation. And the parents were kind of reluctant to avoid the wheat and everything, which was supposed to be good. But they did start to feed the baby bananas and avoid the wheat and things, and the baby thrived. So, you know, it was interesting. And then another thing, which he said, and I continue to say this, he says, coffee, which was bad talked back then, is actually good for the body. So I thought, well, if that's so, somewhere in medical school, I'm going to come across some information about coffee. And Casey also said, if you put cream or milk in your coffee, you negate its benefits. So I thought, okay, there's going to be something. So I, you know, in medical school, you keep track of the journals and whatever. And I just happened across a journal back then, which studied ORAC values, O-R-A-C, which stands for an antioxidant measure of different foods. And they took a group of women in Germany and had them drink coffee or green tea with and without milk. And they found a statistically significant decrease in the ORAC values of coffee and green tea if they put milk in it. So here is Edgar Casey's reading being justified late, many, many years after he passed, by medical research. And it was very interesting. In residency, we were allowed to take electives. And one of the electives, we were allowed to do a month of whatever we wanted. So I took an elective for a month away in Phoenix, Arizona, with what was called the ARE Clinic or the Edgar Casey Clinic. And I spent a month there with the doctors who applied Casey's medicine techniques to their clients.
Virginia Beach?
No, this was in Phoenix, Arizona,
okay,
with Gladys and Bill McGarry back then. They were very enthusiastic doctors who followed Edgar Casey's recommendations. So I went and learned from them. And since then, I've been using Edgar Casey remedies and having very good results with, for instance, castor oil. Castor oil is something that is cheap. $4 will buy you a 4-ounce bottle, which will last you a year. If you have any kind of dry skin condition, athlete's foot, you put castor oil on it persistently and consistently, as Edgar Casey talks about, it will get better. Why don't you know this? Because there's no advertising money for patented antifungal drugs in it, so you won't hear about it. But I will tell you, it's been amazing. Another example, spirit, as since I was a medium, I actually became an MD, and 1 month later, after studying 5 years with the spiritualist church, was an ordained spiritualist minister. So I'm a doctor reverend in that sense. But being a spiritualist and attuning into what's going on with patients, I was a doctor for a year. It's another story, which not for this, but in Boston. And I there were no cures for AIDS back then. This was in the early 90s. And there was a patient who had cryptosporidial diarrhea. And back in those days, it was basically a death sentence with AIDS. He came back from San Diego back to Boston basically to die with his family. And it was food in one end and out the other. He was just losing weight and becoming anemic. And it was around Christmas time, I remember this. And he was basically ready to die. And I said to him, you know, I said, Rob, unless we give you IV fluids, you're going to die. And we have to give you a transfusion because your hemoglobin, if anybody knows what that is, was only 5. Now, when you draw blood on a person with a hemoglobin of 5, it looks like red water coming out of the veins. So I said, we got to give you a transfusion. You're going to die, and food isn't nourishing you. He says, I will do anything. I just want to spend another weekend with my family before I go into Beth Israel Hospital for my transfusion. And for some reason, I said, okay. And again, a download. Into my mind pops Edgar Casey's remedy, castor oil packs on the stomach. So I said to his father, who brought him in because he was too weak to be in on his own, we'll do anything over the weekend. And I instructed him how to do castor oil packs. In the meantime, he had been on tincture of opium and paregoric and all these constipating things and was still having 14 bowel movements a day. So I said, okay, do the castor oil packs, bring him in on Monday, I'll get him into the hospital and we'll transfuse him. Well, make a long story short, you know, as a doctor, you get so many patients, you forget who's doing what. So he canceled his appointment on Monday. 2 weeks later, he finally shows up in the waiting room. I walked right past him because he had gained 20 pounds.
Wow.
And he was complaining of constipation. I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, I have found the cure, you know, to cryptosporidial diarrhea. Well, but it was a download only for him because the next patient with it, I tried it and it didn't work.
Okay.
So when you're, you know, each remedy is unique sometimes to the individual. And I learned that from that download. Another time, because in Boston at Fenway Community Health Center where I worked, the nurses were aware of my holistic ideas and that I was a medium and a healer. So one time a woman from Oregon flew all the way from Oregon to Boston to be on a study of this drug that might help AIDS. And one of the criteria to be on the study was that you needed a hemoglobin of 12. And she came all the way from Oregon and to be in this study and had a hemoglobin of 11. So they didn't know what to do. She had this flight plan. She was looking forward to this T20 medicine that was going to be experimented with. So the nurse said, all of a sudden the nurse said, well, maybe Dr. Neal can help. So here she is. She just says, this woman only has an hour. Can you give her something, you know, do a healing or something on her and we'll recheck her hemoglobin. So I go, okay. So I sit her down in my doctor's exam room and I sit her down and I say, okay, I'm doing a healing on you. So I did a spiritual healing.
Beautiful.
She did the hemoglobin from 11. It went to 12.5. She got in the study. I'm still amazed. So these things are just cool things that happen in spiritualism.
Absolutely amazing. Okay, if you would like to phone in and ask Neil a question about events in Lilydale and upcoming things, you could phone them at 818-739-8818. Again, that's 818-739-8818. Okay, I believe we have a call. Let's see who's on the line. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Ellie.
Hi, Ellie. What's your question?
I've been seeing people since I was little, and
okay.
Lately I've been seeing them more often, and I only see them at night when I go to sleep.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if I should pursue it, or, you know, like.
Well,
first of all, the people that you're seeing, are you seeing them or are they talking to you?
They're not talking to me yet, but I see them, and they see me.
Okay.
They wake me up,
and they see you.
See them.
All right. Now, can you see through them, or are they solid?
They're solid.
They're solid. Okay. But yet, when you see them, do you realize that it's like an apparition rather than an actual physical person?
Well, I see them, and then, like, they're gone right away.
Okay,
they're only
all
there
right.
for, like,
so
a
you know that
seconds.
They're not actually physical. You know that they're from the spirit world, correct?
Yes. So I
okay.
see them,
all
and
right.
they're there for a little bit, and then they go away.
Okay. Now, does this frighten you, or are you okay with this? You're getting used to it.
I'm getting used to it. In the beginning, I would just put my head over my, my shoe over my head, and I would just say, please go away.
Yeah.
But I had a reading in Lilydale back in May, and
yeah.
he told me, you know, they are coming to see you, and your mother's bringing all these people to see you, and we'll just tell them not to come right in front of your face, to step
yeah.
back some.
Sure.
So they've been doing
give
that
you
a
little
a
respect.
Little
yeah.
Yes.
So obviously,
and,
you know, you have psychic sight, which is good. You can choose, because it's always a choice, you know, should you or shouldn't you. If you have an interest in it, you could choose to learn more about it and develop it, or you could just enjoy it the way it is. It sounds like you don't want to get rid of them, which is kind of nice, because I'm sure they're enjoying being noticed by you from the spirit world. And if your mother is helping you, obviously she is kind of like a guardian angel to you. So it's totally your choice, certainly. Lilydale has lots of workshops which offer classes on how to use this for not only your benefit in healing, but also others, because not everybody can see them as clearly as you can. I mean, it took me, like I mentioned earlier, a year and a half before I had any idea that spirit was trying to communicate with me. It gets easier as time goes on, but some people like you have a head start. So it's up to you whether you want to pursue it.
Can I ask a question on behalf of this person? Some people are concerned that they don't know if this is a good spirit or a bad spirit, or there are all sorts of superstitions because of their upbringing. Can you answer that question for them? Are they good?
Are
you concerned about them?
See, my ex family was Puerto Rican, and they used to always deal with the bad. So I always thought that if they're coming around, they're bad. But then when I see my mother and, you know, a few, you know, other, my brothers or uncles or whatever, I mean, my uncles, I'm seeing that that's for the good.
Exactly.
But I'm afraid that.
Exactly.
But I'm afraid that if you let in the good, that the bad's going to come along with it.
No, actually, here's what happens, okay? Because your mother is there, because your brothers are there, and you know that they're good, and you know that they believe in guardian angels as well as you, you have guardian angels which will sort of put up a wall. It's called your doorkeeper, actually. You have a spirit that's called a gatekeeper or a doorkeeper, and they are the ones that protect you from what are so-called bad spirits and only let the good in. So, again, like attracts like. So if you, whatever, there's an old saying where thought goes, energy flows. And if you feel the love of your uncles and your mother, that invites the good where your thought is going. If you keep thinking, oh, it's bad, well, you might attract that. So like attracts like. So your good thoughts and your recognition of your mother and your uncles is a very good thing. And you actually have a guardian angel or a gatekeeper in your spirit team that prevents those negative things from happening. God will never send you anything that you can't handle and turn into good, like turning lemons into lemonade. So that's a superstition that a lot of people don't understand. Most people who are not aware psychically have what I call a natural negative spirit repellent around them. And it's their spirit guide that basically prevents them from having these influences. And as you learn and grow and evolve spiritually and also with your sight, you will know techniques to make sure that that never is loosened. In other words, that you're always defended. There are techniques that that are used about that. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's up to you. You know, you're certainly welcome to check out Lilydale again. We have over four, this year we have, I think it was close to 400 workshops. So there's a lot of choice coming up this summer, activities going on. So check it out, and I'm sure something will sort of get your attention, speak to you, practically jump off the page, just like that woman who itched her nose. That was my sign that their spirit was guiding. So who knows what will happen. There might be something. You might get a Lilydale, and there's a glitch on one of the workshop write-ups. Well, you know, that could be a sign for you. So keep your intuition open. Maybe your spirits will even at night point to the catalog on a certain place. You never know. If you ask, there's a thing which Jesus said in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. So by asking for some guidance, you're going to get it answered. That's how it works. That's how Jesus taught us it works too. That's how it works on the spiritual level.
So
make sense?
You mean for it talking. Eventually they will talk to me?
Well, they may not talk to you. It sounds like you're clairvoyant, which means you can see a lot easier. But they may show you a picture of a workshop or a picture of a medium, or they may point to a page on, you know, like a number, and okay, I'll go on page 22 and see what they're talking about. You know what I mean? So they may not talk, but they may point or show pictures.
Okay.
Okay. And again, there are lots of books. There's lots of books you can read if you don't want to come to a Lilydale class. My gosh, there are online books that you can order that are very inexpensive. John Edwards has written books, and James Van Prague, and you know, maybe even John White. You know, so you could Google those kind of books.
There is another John White who's the medical assistant.
Is that right? So you know, again, you look online with Amazon, spiritual unfoldment books or mediumship. I have to say, there was an English medium called Grace Cook, and one of her guardian angels or guides was named White Feather. And White Feather wrote a bunch of books on spiritual intuition, which are very good. And it was written over 100 years ago, but the books are still relevant today. It was either White Feather or White Eagle. And he wrote books on the White Brotherhood and other things. So very useful books are out there from 100 years ago until now.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much for your call. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. We want to announce that the three churches here at Lilydale are Fellowship of the Spirit, and their services are at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings. We have the Church of the Living Spirit here on the grounds of Lilydale. Their services are at 10:30 Sunday mornings, and the Lilydale Church, also up on the hill, we say, and their services are at, it's in the Healing Temple, and their services are at 10:30. We just want to mention the other four shows that are here, also here at Lilydale.
Aside from the Journeys of the Light with Reverend John White, we have Colleen van der Zijden, Tuesdays at 8 p.m., Embracing Your Essence. Wednesdays with Willa, that would be with Willa White, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. And then Celestial Fridays with Celeste Elliott at 10 a.m. on Fridays. And again, all of the radio hosts are registered mediums here at Lilydale. And if you miss the show and you really want to hear it, the shows are archived. If you go on to blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, you can listen to them anytime. And also, there is a healing service every Wednesday in the Healing Temple from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Those are always free, and everyone is welcome. And again, if you would like to call in, the number is 818-739-8818. Again, that number is 818-739-8818. And you're welcome to ask a question, share a story. And again, we have a special guest, Dr. Neil
Zepkowski.
Dr. Neil Zepkowski, medical doctor, an intuitive who teaches many classes on Native American spirituality, Edgar Cayce, trance channeling, right?
Channeling, yes. Native American spirituality, as a matter of fact, taught me how to do sweat lodge ceremonies and led me to learn a little bit more about them in depth from what the spirits told me. So I've been doing sweat lodge ceremonies here in Lilydale since 1992. We had our first ceremony here, and they are all summer long with different leaders. I myself pour sweat lodges. The leader of a sweat lodge is called a lodge pourer or a water pourer. So I'm doing one at my house the Sunday after Thanksgiving in the afternoon. And there's a whole bunch of things that I do at my home, which is only 4 miles away from Lilydale. So I can get away with a lot that won't be allowed in Lilydale, like seances in the dark. I'm very interested in materialization. And so you can see trumpets go up and spirit lights appear in the dark and all kinds of things happening at my house. I have an Indian medicine man coming in the middle of December to do some ceremonies where the spirits will actually lift the rattles up into the air, come and rattle and give you healings from the spirits. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the middle of December at my house. And then, of course, when the physical mediums that do, for instance, trumpet seances and direct voice, where the voice talks in the middle of the air, this voice comes out. So they're going to be at my house during the summer.
Dr. Neil, do you have this information on a website or anywhere people can find it? Or
I have an email list. So if you email me at Doc Neil, DocNeal at me.com and request to be on my email mailing list, I will send you all the information about sweat lodges, seances, Indian ceremonies that are going on, not only at my house, but I'll also give you a sneak preview into the lodges happening in Lilydale and some of the Indian ceremonies that are happening elsewhere in the country. But we also have a Sundance that uses my land in the middle of summer going on. So there's a big Sundance there. I give my land to it. I don't be involved that much in it, except I do use my property. And that's amazing to see that happening. So there's all kinds of opportunities right in and around Lilydale here. Plus, I do workshops in Lilydale as well as John White doing them as well.
What are some of the workshops that you have planned for this summer, Neil?
Well, one of them, obviously, we were talking earlier about Edgar Cayce. I'm going to do a 3-hour summary, basically, of his recommendations of holistic health care and my diet, including not putting cream in your coffee. Okay, so that's one of the workshops I'm doing. Another one, I like to coach mediums on when they give public message work outdoors at the stump. We are looking for evidence that life continues. So you want to hear from your grandmother who cooked rice and had army shoes that she wore, so something that's evidential for your grandmother and nobody else's grandmother. I know one time, you hear this, oh, I got a grandmother. Well, everybody's got a grandmother almost that goes to Lilydale Outdoor Services. So, and, the typical description, she liked to bake cookies and blah, blah, blah. So I, one time in the stump, I said, if I'm bringing a grandmother, I don't want a run-of-the-mill grandmother. So this grandmother comes to this person in the stump, and she says, I'm your grandma, and I love to gamble, and I never cooked in the kitchen, she said, I would always eat out or call. And it was like right on. I said, all right, grandma, you're the way. You're the one to go. So, I try to have people give messages that are evidence that it's their grandma and nobody else's, for instance. And the psychicness, that I don't want people to say, oh, I feel sad. As I come in your vibration, I feel sadness around you. You're having some problems. You've been thinking about moving. Yeah, that's all psychic stuff. It has nothing to do with your spirit proving and bringing them evidence that, yeah, your grandmother was looking over those blueprints and she sees you put the bathroom on the north side of the house. This kind of evidential stuff that shows that your spirits not only are continuing their consciousness on the spirit side, but they're interested in you. So I teach a class on that, very limited tutoring, 6 people limit. So they get some individual tutoring with that class. So those
are
some of them.
I have a little something to share with you about a message that you gave at a stump. Probably 5 years ago, you don't know this because I never followed up and told you, but I was sitting at one of the stump services and you kept saying the name Jared and no one was raising their hand. And my ears had perked up because my ex-boyfriend's name was Jared and I didn't want to raise my hand. I knew a Jared, but I'm like, oh, well, no one else is. So I kind of very hesitantly raised my hand and you started to describe this person in spirit. And I actually happened to know the person I had come with, who did not come to the service, her nephew's
boyfriend was named Jared. He had killed himself. And I had mentioned just to you that my friend knew someone named Jared. So you said, well, tell your friend to get her butt down here and so I can give the message. So she did. And I said to her later, I said, well, what happened? What did he tell you? And she said that you told her basically all the details, how this young man had passed on. He had killed himself. And her nephew was beating himself up about it. He was blaming himself for it. And you had explained that he just, you know, he was in a bad place and that there was a lot of, there were drugs and alcohol involved. And, you know, that was an incredibly healing message for her nephew that he really needed to hear. But I wish I could remember all of the details because it was so detailed. And my mind was blown at the time. And I'm like, wow. I'm glad I raised my hand.
Oh, I want to go see that medium. Jeez, I don't. Yeah, I love feedback like that because you don't know, you know.
Well, isn't that true with all of us? Sometimes
yes.
you'll run across a person saying, you know what, you changed my life. Have you ever run across someone saying what you said to me changed my life?
Yeah.
And
years later they'll come back, you know, and I don't know. But hey, you know, my first reading changed my life with Tom Bartlett. You know, I said, by golly, I'm going to either learn this trick or do it myself if he can do it. Because he wasn't even Catholic, so I figured I should be able to do this. You know, back then, that was my thinking as a teenager. So, yes, meetings can change your life and in ways that you never would think of years later.
Now, how long has Lilydale actually been here, Neil?
Oh, it started in 1879, officially, where we are right now. Before that, there were meetings in the woods right next to Lilydale, the picnics back in the 1870s. There were picnics in the beginning of around Labor Day. Admission for the grounds back then to pay for the speakers was 10 cents. When Willard Alden died, the family decided to raise the admission to 25 cents. Well, that's like in these days, raising it from 10 bucks to 25 bucks. They thought that's terrible. So they found... they said, well, we're going to find our own land. Well, the own land that they find happened to be right next to the Alden Farm, which is where we're at right now, Lilydale. So it was formed in 1879, and it's been growing ever since. It grew so fast back in those days because spiritualism was so popular that it outgrew itself within 9 short years, and they had to buy more land. So when you come to Lilydale, you'll notice that North Street is smack dab in the middle of Lilydale. At one time, North Street was the northern boundary of Lilydale, until they had to buy more land when it grew so fast in 1888, actually, they bought the land and expanded into the current Lilydale that we have now. Now, there was plans to develop even more back where what we call Mud Lake is, but by that time in the 20s, 1920s and 30s, spiritualism population began to decline, and so that never did take place, but who knows what the future may bring.
This is actually the largest spiritualist community in the world. Is that true?
That is true. We have over 50 mediums here in a small concentrated area of a community. And in order to live in Lilydale, you need to be at least a member of a spiritualist church, not necessarily a medium. People get that wrong. We have non-mediums that live in Lilydale, but they all believe and support that there is life after life. And so it is the largest gathering of spiritualists in the world.
Even people like Susan B. Anthony spoke here because they consider themselves free thinkers.
Absolutely.
Do you think that we're still growing in that direction where we're continuing to be free thinkers?
Well, I have to say when I was a teenager coming here with the stuffiness and the way that they presented themselves, they were anything but free thinkers. But I think we are, the pendulum swings, and the pendulum is swinging back to the free thinking that was actually the foundation of Lilydale to begin with.
That's true, because I, just like you, remember when there was no classes here. And now it wasn't long where actually I believe that the income of Lilydale is like 50% of the income comes from classes.
That's correct.
So it's very important to have different classes. So we're going to be narrowing down to...
Oh, we have someone who desperately wants to ask Dr. Neil a question, but he's just pulling over his car now so that he can do so. So we can hang on 1 second.
Okay. 1 minute left.
1 minute left.
No. Now, are we going to – do we push the button or what here? Okay. So anyway, 60 seconds left for the caller. Oh, my goodness. This is the on-air times.
Okay, well –
apparently.
If we can, I can ask for him at least.
Okay.
We have John, who has a little girl, a little baby girl, who's just having some difficulty right now, and he just would like to know if you have anything that might.
How baby is baby? How old?
Baby is actually baby, little baby.
Little baby,
okay. Less than a year old.
All right, having some difficulties. Well, again, as a medium, you're not supposed to diagnose or prescribe. However, as a doctor, intuitively, I can say that a tablespoon of fennel tea might be useful in the colicky restlessness. And so it shouldn't hurt to give a tablespoon of fennel tea. Oh, 10 seconds left. So I'll hand it over to John.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So you've been listening to Talk Radio here at Lilydale. We'll be here next Wednesday. And Neil, thanks for being on the show. You've been a very colorful and informative guest. Thank you on behalf of Journeys of the Light of Lilydale.
Hey, Liz.
Yeah?
Want to run out for a little treat?
Absolutely.
Great. Because right now, Tim Hortons has this deal. A small hot chocolate or French vanilla is just 99 cents.
Wow. All right, how about this? When you're ready to go, shoot me a text. That was fast. Let's go.
Better hurry. This sweet deal is not going to last. Right now, treat yourself to a small hot chocolate or French vanilla at Tim Hortons for just 99 cents. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
The best thing about the new $1 sausage and cheese muffin at Tim Hortons is the savory sausage. Ooh, and the cheese. Oh, and the toasty English muffin. Those are the three best things about it. Oh, and that it's prepared to order. You order one and they prepare it for you. That's the single best thing about it. And that it's a dollar! Grab a savory sausage and cheese English muffin breakfast sandwich at Tim Hortons right now for just a dollar. Great quality at a great value. It's all good at Tim Hortons. $1 sausage and cheese English muffin sandwich. No substitutions. Limited time only. Participation varies.